College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh. We'll get back to everyone's call. Francisco Rojas behind the glass. And you know what we do at 12:30 leading up to the trade deadline. By the way, it is 2 weeks from today, the MLB trade deadline. Ooh. Let's finish the Phillies here and try to make a deal, Fran.
Let's make a deal.
All right, so like you said, 2 weeks away to the trade deadline.
Yep.
Probably the most intriguing trade deadline I think I can remember in a long time.
Well, Dombrowski's most important.
Yep. Big time.
Yeah, so today's player has been in the American League Central for 4 years now. Has a career 2.41 ERA. Probably has one of the nastiest pitchers in baseball right now. Has a strikeout per nine rate of over 10, or over 11, excuse me, for his career. Will be a free agent in a couple of years, so this could be a guy that you're not getting just as a rental. And yeah, I would say people consider him right now to be one of the best, probably closers, maybe not just the American League, but in all of Major League Baseball.
How old?
He is 27.
27, one of the best closers in baseball. Years of control left on his contract. Where do I sign up? It sounds like the perfect Phillies trade candidate.
And he has a great, keep going because I don't want to give it away too much.
I mean, I know who this
is. You already know who it is.
He's my dream target for the Phillies.
Catering towards you, Kyle.
Good. I mean, this is the easiest yes I think we've had so far. I've heard this name connected to the Phillies. It's very clearly Duran from the Twins. And I would do crazy things.
Is it because of the closer entrance?
No, it's not.
The closer entrance is pretty darn cool.
I think closer entrances are corny. I'm sorry.
That's all of them? Closer songs or closer entrances? Because a lot of songs.
All of it. Go out there and strike guys out.
Now,
that's all I need to say.
I know you were young at the time. Do you remember, have you ever seen Eric Gagne's? Mm-hmm. So Eric Gagne had like a year or two where he was the best closer in baseball. Yeah. He was clearly on steroids. He was awesome. And when he came in the game, everything went dark, and it just flashed game over on the screen.
Yeah.
I thought it was the most badass thing, and for 2 years, it was game over.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Okay.
Because like, then how asinine do you look if you go out there and get tagged?
Well, but Rivera?
Yeah.
He came out to
Enter Sandman. Yeah. But it's intimidation more than anything else.
No, it's not.
Yes,
Grant Balfour came out to one.
If the lights go off and it says game over, that's pretty badass.
I want you to show me a hitter who's actually intimidated by that. There's zero chance that that's intimidating.
Well, for the
anybody.
Most part, the game was over when that guy came in.
But every closer has it now.
Kyle, you have PTSD from Kimbrel. That's what it is.
No, I don't.
It's fresh in your brain. Fresh in the mind.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's that loser Edwin Diaz and the stupid freaking trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
Anything associated with
so
the Mets
jealous.
In my head is
you're
that. No, excuse me. Don't ever tell me I'm jealous of the Mets ever again. I'm not jealous. I just can't stand the Mets. I can't stand Edwin Diaz. The stupid trumpet. It sucked. It's corny. It's loser stuff. Go out there and dominate. That's the most intimidating thing you can do. I don't need the closer entrance.
All right, so we're all going to agree we want Duran, right? Like, he fits the profile and everything. Forget the song. Like, just the pitching, the health, the dominance.
Forget the song.
Yeah, like, he's a closer, so it's not like you're projecting, can he pitch? Like, he's done everything. He's pitched in the postseason, I think, either one or two times and pitched well in every postseason game he's pitched in. So it's not like, could he handle October? He did that in 2023. Here is the question. What price do you walk away from? Because if I'm the Twins, like, I always think of the other side of this. Like, you brought up Ryan Reynolds the other day for the Pirates, right?
Yep.
Like, I'm like, I want to give him away if I'm the Pirates.
Yeah.
If I'm the Twins, you're not getting Johan Duran unless I'm getting the best of what you have. So where do you walk away from the table?
Andrew Painter's off the table.
Could ask for Andrew Painter.
They could, and I'm hanging up the phone.
It's a reasonable ask.
Mm.
He's not. If he was a free agent to be, I would say it's not reasonable. He's a top five closer
give us
in baseball.
Buxton, too.
Well, yeah, I would have to start. Yeah, I would have to start sweetening the pot because at the end of the day, Joanne Duran is my dream player at the deadline. He's a reliever.
But isn't that what we need?
Yes, but I'm not trading a start. Like, it, just out of principle at the trade deadline, I'm not giving away a projected ace starter for a reliever. I'm just not doing it.
Aiden Miller, we're in?
Absolutely. Get lost, Aiden. Sorry, Jack.
It kind of reminds me of 2016 when the Cubs, now the Cubs were probably better than the Phillies are right now, but like the Cubs were trying to win the World Series.
Yeah.
And they traded Gleyber Torres, who was at that point a top five prospect in baseball. And he's become a good player. He just started the All-Star game.
He's fun.
Yeah. They traded him for a rental of Aroldis Chapman. Like, he was the best closer on the market. Like, it was the all-in. Theo Epstein said, we're trying to win the World Series now. I'll give up a future All-Star for this guy.
Yeah.
That could be Miller. Or they could... If they say Painter, you're hanging up the phone?
I'm hanging up. There's pretty much nobody that I know of that's available at the trade deadline that you could get Andrew Painter off my hands.
Well, all right. So
Jax, Duran, and Buxton. You're not giving up Painter?
I'm giving up Painter.
Well,
that's a package of three players, yes.
You're getting your eighth and ninth inning and your new cleanup hitter.
Look at that. The Buxton thing is what tips the scale. If you were telling me it was Buxton and Duran, then yes, I would do Andrew Painter. So, like, you would have to make it very hard for me to say no for the Andrew Painter thing. There's no Soto available at this deadline.
No.
I would have given up Painter in a heartbeat for Juan Soto. Like, there's no player like that.
You need a combination.
I need a combo.
The Cleveland, there's the rumors about Cleveland, too, I saw last week. Was it Jeff Paston that had it? Stephen Kwan and Emmanuel Clase.
I love that one.
I would do that.
Oh, Stephen Kwan is awesome. He never strikes out. People would love him.
Kepler.
It's like the... Because as good as Duran is, relievers such like a year to year thing. Like, guys are so up and down. It's a very volatile thing.
Yeah. Now,
and so really, at the end of the day, we're doing this to try and win the World Series this year.
Yes. Now, to be fair with this guy, he's been pretty consistently excellent for four straight years, right?
Like, right.
He might be every once in a while. Yep. There's a reliever that just does it for six or seven or 8 years or 10.
You just never know. I need the Buxton thing would definitely tickle my fancy. Because you'll have him for a while. It becomes like a centerpiece.
Now, unfortunately, he did say at the All-Star game that he doesn't want to waive his no trade clause.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes guys will change their mind on that. Like, if he's presented with a deal a week from now, and maybe he seemed pretty adamant. But
and look, what if the Twins are honest with him? They're like, dude, like, we're gonna start selling pieces. So you want to be the only guy left on this decrepit roster?
He could change his mind
that we're about to dismantle. Then he says that now. I'm not 100% like that. Didn't signal to me that it's over in terms of going after Byron Buxton.
All right, so you're out on Painter. I probably would be too. I don't want to trade Andrew Painter. And you would do Painter if they included Buxton or something else. Okay.
Yep.
Let's go to one more angle. Let's say it's not enough Aiden Miller. They've got other good offers.
Uh-huh.
Are you giving up Aiden Miller and Mick Abel? Like, how?
Yeah.
It's a pretty big offer.
I know it is.
Yeah.
But the reason
Miller and Crawford.
Yes. I'm more
just
well,
keep saying yes.
Yeah. it just can't be Andrew Painter. But I need the Buxton part of it. It's not just for the reliever. So and the reason I'm more encouraged about this deadline, and you can call me crazy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel pretty good about this trade deadline for Dave. Like when that Matt Gelb article came out about Dombrowski being more willing to trade top-end prospects in this deadline.
Which they were not last year.
Right. Now, the reasoning is not the greatest reasoning because it was about fixing mistakes he made in the offseason.
Yep.
But like, I really think Dombrowski knows that this is probably going to be their best chance of this like 4 or 5 year period for the Phillies to go win the World Series. And I think now he's becoming also Dombrowski's probably looking at his own like the hourglass on him, his tenure as a Phillies GM too. So why is he what incentive does he have to hoard prospects at this point?
I don't think he has any. I mean, the last couple of trade deadlines have been just meek.
And the players we've gotten have sucked.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, they haven't given up. They haven't paid a lofty price for anything.
They haven't gone all in.
I mean,
there was a report last year, and it came up again, that article you're referencing, that they walked away from the Garrett Crochet thing last year. They had a chance to get him. I think it was maybe Painter that they wouldn't put on the table, or Miller. I mean, in retrospect, maybe they regret it. I mean, Crochet's the top five pitcher in baseball.
I think a lot of this is coming from regret from last year's trade deadline and maybe some regret from the offseason, which isn't the best way to operate, is fixing your own mistakes.
But you have to sometimes.
You do.
I mean, Howie does that.
That was exactly what I was just going to say. Howie Roseman fixed the Wentz mistake, and look what it turned into. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. Like, if it turns into a World Series, nobody's going to care.
I would love Duran. Go get him. And I am, if push comes to shove, I also would say no on Painter. But I would, I'm okay considering it. Like, I would take a long time to consider it. I would probably say no to Painter. Yeah. I would say yes to anybody else in the organization.
There's packages that entice me, which just realized that could get clipped in the future. Yeah. Luckily, I'm the producer of the show.
Yeah, well, no, Fran's going to clip it and just save it for another day.
Already done.
Yeah, thank you.
But it just, if it's just a reliever, I'm not even considering it.
Yeah, he is a heck of a reliever.
It has to be a batter.
Duran from the Twins, today's finishing the Phillies. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Andy in Westchester. Hey, Andy.
I've got an enticing package for you.
Oh, great.
Kyle.
Yep.
Jordan Romano, Garrett Stubbs, and throw in Kepler.
Oh, these are my favorite sports radio trades. Let me give you all my favorite sports radio trades. Let me give you all the crap on our team, and you give me your best player. Let's do that.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they'll jump on it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all that they want.
How have you guys been?
Oh, doing well, Andy. How you been?
Fantastic, buddy.
Good, thanks. I like a full 4 hours of Kyle anger out from behind the glass.
I don't think that's happened once.
Well, you know what interesting? Never. The same people Kyle yells at before they get on the air. Now he gets to just do it while they're on the air.
That's right.
Everyone gets to hear it.
It's great. Mm-hmm. It's just basically...
I don't yell at you, though, Andy. Do I?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's more like Aaron or Chris.
Yeah. You better get it together.
So with Embiid, though, now that you brought him up, it's funny that he's naming all these issues with the Sixers and everything they've done wrong, but he doesn't see his role in the dysfunction with the, just acting like a child all the time and making himself the center of the world, center of attention. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. There's a lack of person. It's like two things could be true at once. He's not wrong on the Sixers being a mess, right? He's probably right on a lot of those things, but there's also a lot of personal accountability that this article just zoomed past, like that he's part of the issue and injuries happen, unfortunately, but I don't think he's kept himself in the best shape. And there's no excuse, as we went over, for not being able to move in the Knicks series in April than to go to the Olympics in June and make things worse.
Right. You know, that was horrible. But, I mean, we all deal with crap at work, and you got to act like a professional. He just acts like a baby on the court when he gets frustrated. Nobody needs to see it. So, anyway, the top five, I'm with Kyle on this. I don't know how you could not have Harper
on
the list. When you build a franchise around a player, he's got to be on that list, in my mind. But the 08 team makes it extremely hard to put any list together with somebody else besides them. So I would have, in no order, it's got to be Howard, Utley, and Rollins. And then I got Harper, so it's that fifth spot. Somebody already stole Eric Bruntlett from me. So
Bruntlett's not on a top five list.
So no Hamels? you don't have Hamels on yours?
No, but do you have Hamels or Wheeler?
I have both and no Bryce.
If I had to...
Right.
It is
That's
tough.
That's what I'm saying. To round it out that five is difficult.
See, I guess for me, I understand the point both of you guys are making. Wheeler, although he didn't come first, right? They built it around Bryce, and then Wheeler came next because he's a free agent 2 years later. Like, to me, Wheeler's been better than Bryce. Like, year to year, he's just better at his position and just overall better. And he's been just as great in October. Now, he doesn't have that Bedlam at the Bank moment. It's tough for a starting pitcher to have a moment unless you throw a no-hitter like Doc. But, like, his October numbers are also historic. Like, he's done everything Bryce has done, except he just isn't the face of it.
Wheeler's moment is getting pulled before the Alvarez home run.
Oh,
you know
God.
What? Maybe if Topper left him in, that's his moment.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's slowly coming to light that everything comes back to him, and I don't want to believe it's the manager, but I think... starting to feel that way.
Yeah. Now, but, I always defend a Topper on that. They weren't scoring that night.
No.
Whether or not it was Alvarado or Wheeler, the issue was the offense just died.
The lights went out on that offense.
Yeah.
It's still just a terrible move.
Well, it did not work out as Alvarez sent the ball to the moon. Yeah.
I got to get back to Bruntlett, though, real quickly.
Oh, great.
I don't know if it's not a permanent display, I don't think, but his unassisted triple play is in the Hall of Fame. I was up there. They actually have a display up there with Eric Bruntlett for that unassisted triple play he had at second
base.
Wow.
So I've only been to Cooperstown once. It was before that. I think it was like 05, 06, somewhere in that range. So I've never seen that. They have it because it's an unassisted triple play?
I saw that. I was there last year. I saw it.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I don't know if that's like a permanent thing or not, but I was blown away that Eric Bruntlett was in the Hall of Fame.
So the only member of that group that's in the Hall of Fame, not Utley yet, not Rollins, not Hamels, not right. Howard, it's Eric Bruntlett.
That's it. That's my
good case.
Spot then.
That's a good case.
That's a wild one.
Bedtime at the bank doesn't count.
Andy, good phone call, man. We appreciate it.
Hold on. Did he just say bedtime at the bank?
It had to be Bedlam.
I'm going to kill him.
It couldn't have been bedtime.
That's outreaching.
That's the second time.
No, think about it like logically. Why would he say bedtime?
Fran might have to pull the audio. I'll double check. I think he said bedtime.
I think he just kind of quickly went through Bedlam. And it's,
stop washing away Bedlam at the bank.
What was, no one's doing that. What was Chris's this morning? Bedlam people.
At the park. That was way worse.
Bedtime would actually be worse.
Yeah, bedtime's more disrespectful. Park is more, how could you forget?
Citizens Bank Park. It's the name of the stadium. Sure. I could see why.
He did say bedtime. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you guys off.
He said bedtime?
Yeah. I'm listening. Dude, I'll play it back for you.
That cannot happen. That can't happen. You see what I'm dealing with here today?
And, well, you said you never yelled at Andy. Now you're going to.
All right, I'm going to kill him.
Quickly to go back to Embiid for a second, because there's so much in this article. If you haven't read it, you should check it out at ESPN. But one thing that annoys me is Joel will speak out of both sides of his mouth, right? He talked in the article. We know in the past he's been annoyed they didn't keep Jimmy Butler. In this particular article, he talked about how he played his best and he loved James Harden. Maybe they should have kept that together. But then, this is in the article. He, quote, he refuses to exert himself over personnel decisions only to later complain about them. The exit of Jimmy Butler is the most obvious example. His reasons for this are rooted in his own personal history. He wonders what would happen to him if the Sixers had an established star with clout to ship him out early in his career. Quote, I always told myself I will never be responsible for someone losing their job, someone getting traded, someone getting fired. Don't ask me about if we should sign and if we should trade anybody. Okay, that's fine. I wish he gave his input, but okay. Then you can't complain.
No.
It's like if we're going out to eat, and then you don't want to give any input on where we're going to eat, and then I pick the place, and you're like, oh, I don't eat this food. Well, then you should have said something.
He's very clearly in like a mental blender with all of this stuff. He doesn't know how to, because the part where he talks about, I think he sort of alluded to that he was a little bit more strong in the Harden camp, and then it burned him. They got rid of Harden, and now Harden doesn't talk to him anymore.
Right.
So he doesn't, he already doesn't establish great relationships with people, as is.
Well, 9,000 unread text messages.
And then the one time he puts himself out there, it ends up being, I'm sure that's sad for him. He said they were close.
And they don't talk anymore now.
You're right. If he's going to be that reserved, then he really doesn't have a right to complain when they do something that he didn't want them to do. You have to speak up.
Yeah, right. Or exactly. If you really feel strongly about something, say something. And I mean, he I don't think anymore, but he used to be good enough that I think they would have probably done what he asked because you're getting the best out of the player. It's just he is such a frustratingly great player because he's clearly great. Anyone with eyes just knows this, but he's frustrating. And this article, because I saw a lot of people just putting pieces of it out there. When you read the whole thing, at times I feel a lot of empathy for him as a person.
Lot.
But then I come away annoyed.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah. He's a frustrating player.
It was from the basketball perspective, you're like, shut up.
Yeah.
And then from the human perspective, you're like, damn.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there.
Sucks.
215-592-9494. Your phone calls. All right, coming up, we'll get to everyone's phone calls. Top five Phillies last 25 years. Does Bryce Harper deserve a guaranteed spot? The Commanders, are they a real threat for you in the NFCs? They are for me. And, of course, everything we've talked about today, including Joel Embiid. But we need to work through something. So we were thinking about the last 25 years of Phillies baseball, and we thought, let's put together a top five list of the moments, the best moments.
Yep.
The problem is there's so many moments. We got to parse this list out. We'll play some of the best ones, and we'll try to narrow this down to the five best. That's coming up. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.